with no mouth. Hello Kitty appearing on everything from kids' toothbrushes to Lady Gaga costumes. But now trademark owner Sanrio is ordered by a court in Holland to kill off Kitty's friend, a rabbit named Kathy, whom it says is too similar to a popular Dutch bunny named Miffy. Maker Sanrio is hopping mad, saying it'll appeal. Hello Kitty turned the grand age of 35 this year. The judges in Holland ruling the 55-year-old Miffy pulls rank in the world of cartoon bunnies and copyright. In London, Alistair Wang, Glenn Fox, News Radio.
Spring ahead, fall back. Now's the time to fall back. Daylight savings time ends at 2 tomorrow morning. That means you should turn back your clocks an hour before going to bed as we return to standard time. Well, most people anyway. Hawaii, Arizona, and some U.S. territories do not observe daylight saving time. Firefighters would like you to replace the batteries in those smoke detectors, too. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. We got mostly cloudy today. It's going to be about a high of 67. The west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be partly cloudy, low of 52 with south-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday, we're going to get some rain, about a half inch of rain. It's going to be high of 62, south-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And out there on the Monterey Bay, the west winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 13 seconds, and south winds south winds tonight will be 5 knots. The wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 13 seconds, and Sunday south winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, west swell 2 to 4 feet at 11 seconds. And for your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, let's see here. Looks like nothing huge going on. We got some heavy fog on this Highway 17 right now, and that started at 9 o'clock. So other than that, not a whole lot going on. Call me at 475-1080 if you've got a traffic update for me. Got current temperatures for you here. Let's see, it looks like Monterey's at 55. It's partly cloudy there. Salinas is cloudy at 58. Watsonville's at 54. And we are at 57 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. Official time, 10:06 and 55 seconds on this Saturday, November 6th. Up next, Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Nikki James.
Yeah.
You've made my day.
Oh, yeah?
You're back.
Really?
That's the reason. You made my day. You're back.
I am.
We missed you. Dave is wonderful, but no one can fill your shoes. And as I said to you off the air a few minutes ago, I had no idea that you had been to hell and back.
Yeah.
Something really horrible. We almost lost you. And so that makes me that much more appreciative that you're back.
Well, thank you.
You were in a I was told a very minor automobile accident.
Well, it wasn't minor to me. Not to me.
It wasn't minor at all, not after
it
your
still
report.
Isn't minor to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, not almost. Being able to walk is not fun, actually.
It's just awful.
Never experienced that.
But you sound great, and you look great.
Thank you.
And maybe you could just sit for a while.
Yeah, I still got my voice, so I can sit here and
That's
use it.
That's right.
Right?
Absolutely. That's wonderful.
Good.
So, Well, what are we going to do today? I mean, things have finally settled down.
Mm-hmm.
And
with the Alex Jones thing. I'm sorry I missed that.
The Alex Jones thing,
great?
The election thing. Oh, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
I guess that's when you had your mishap, was just a day or two before, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it went well, I heard.
The operation was a success, and the patient did not die. I mean, it was just it was wonderful. It couldn't have gone better, really. And, yeah, we want to start doing more things like that here at your favorite radio station. We've sort of been missing the boat for the last almost 20 years. Do you realize it's going to be the 20th anniversary of KSCO, pardon me, coming back into local ownership and management?
When?
January 31st.
Wow.
2011.
Nice.
Which is like 2 months
really
from now.
Really soon. Yeah.
Yeah, 3 months from now. Yeah,
right.
Almost 3 months. Yeah, what are we going to do? We should have some sort of a special celebration time come. Right, something
celebrate
like that.
Celebrate
good
times.
Should you and I should cook up something, you know?
That sounds good.
And
we'll cook it.
And Rosie can, you know, Rosie's the ultimate party giver.
Yes, she is.
So she can help us. And let's start thinking. And, you know, the listeners can help us, too.
If they have ideas, yeah.
What should we do for the 20th anniversary of your favorite radio station?
Is there a place on the website they can, like, type in ideas or comments?
You know, there isn't, but there
should be.
And there will be, because the website is now capable of doing probably 100,000% more than anybody can even fathom.
Yeah, well, I listened on the computer. Listened live on the computer.
Yeah.
The other day when last weekend when I was laid up. But yeah, I didn't know. We just started doing that, right?
Yeah. And if you go to KSCO.com right now, you will see what the cover of Kay's upcoming commentary book that's been requested for so many years.
Yeah, it's a cool photo.
We're just on the cusp of getting it published. I don't know what's. We're just sort of tweaking things at the last minute here, deciding how many. Oh, that's what the hang up is. We don't know whether to order 6 copies or 6,000 copies.
Oh, I see.
I mean, we have no idea.
That's why you need like a little comment thing, like people just, you know, could click a button and say, "I want one for sure," and just
out. That's why I had this great idea. I got really, really spoiled with the Alex Jones event, because I've known about PayPal for years. We've used it for people to go to KSCO.com and subscribe for $10.80 a month so that they can just help their... What do they get for it? Just the warm, fuzzy feeling that they're helping their favorite radio station continue to be their favorite radio station. Other people can go to donate an amount. And when we have the annual drive to help us pay those damn FCC fees... people tend to do that, you know, with much more frequency, but nothing like the Alex Jones ticket purchases through PayPal. And that was the only way that you can get tickets. The only way to buy tickets. People were upset because they couldn't mail for them. They couldn't come to the radio station and pay. They couldn't buy them on site.
They had to use the computer.
And people said that I was being a real dick.
Well, you know what?
You know, because I shouldn't have done
get
that.
Get with the time and age is what I have to say.
Yeah. And so everybody has a if they're not computer literate, don't use a computer. Everybody knows someone who does. Anyhow, we got real spoiled using PayPal. And so I think that's what we're I got the idea that that's what we should do to give us an idea about how many copies of the for KSCO. I'm Kay's Whirling commentary book. But if you go to KSCO.com right now, it's there. And you can buy an advance order. If you do an advance order, you'll be able to come to the party that we'll have here one of these days, probably the next 2 or 3 weeks, definitely before the holiday. And Kay will be here to autograph copies and stuff. So that'd be cool. But you know what? We've got to officially open the program. So let's do that.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring here.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Hi there, KSCO Land. It's your old buddy, MZ. And I'm here to say, welcome thee. No, I'm here to welcome thee. To the Saturday special for November whatever it is. This is November 6th. Yeah, Saturday, November 6th. Stay with us for the next 2 hours. I think you'll be happy you did.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay. Here we are in hour number one of the Saturday special. The phone number is 479-1080 if you want to call in and bring up a topic. I got a bunch of them that I can bring up and we'll throw out to you for the first hour. We're just going to sort of mess around and have fun. We haven't done that for a long time. Maybe that's why people have liked our Saturday specials lately, because they haven't been these silly ones. But some people like the silly ones with where we don't know what's going to happen. I will tell you that starting in hour number two, which will be at 6 minutes past 11, we have a very special guest. Going to be very worthwhile. And I was going to tell you, but I decided I'm not going to. You're just going to have to trust my judgment on that one. Real interesting guest that we're going to have for 11 to 12 noon hour. We typically start that off with the second hour with Kay's commentary, and we have a brand new one. So, Nikki, because we're going to need every bit of hour number two for our very special guest, let's divert the format a little bit. Joe and Carmel is already calling with a question, and other people, I'm sure, will call in at 479-1080 in area 831. But let's do a commentary right now. I think it's only 2.5 minutes or so. The brand new Kay's commentary, and maybe we can throw that into the mix for discussion. So take it away, Nikki.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
So the election is over and we conservatives can begin to sleep a lot easier because we will for the next 2 years be able to speak out loud and clear that our government must take seriously our debt. For the first time in its existence, we learn now the debt has become $14.5 trillion. We have been told that while our credit rating still remains at AAA, it's precarious, and if we lose it, no country will lend us any money. What's the solution? Clearly, our government must start to tighten its belt and become lean. That was one of the messages we heard this week. I sure hope President Obama heard it. For starters, maybe our president will willingly become a role model for us and get rid of the 40 or so czars in the government who supposedly have guided his leadership thus far. If he consulted them, they have not done a good job. And if they're paid even $150,000 a year, that could reduce our debt by almost $6 million per year and almost $12 million for the 2 years of Obama's final term. It would be saving $12 million, almost, for 2 years. It has been reported that our First Lady has 20 helpers, unlike previous First Ladies who only had one. Perhaps a few of them had two. So, many of her friends are well taken care of, and each helper must be paid at least the same as the czars. There is another possible almost $12 million to reduce our debt. So, between the president and the first lady, they could personally reduce the country's deficit by $24 million or thereabouts. That would be a wonderful way of showing the rest of the government employees how, on a smaller level, they could each try to reduce the deficit. Another example, on a weekly basis, many thousands are wasted on the enormous single plane flying Nancy Pelosi nonstop back and forth to her California home. She refused a cheaper, smaller plane because it wasn't nonstop. This extravagance has gone on for several years. All this may sound like not much, but if all government employees and agencies would cut out obvious extravagances, the debt could be reduced significantly. For KSCO, this is Kay's Whirling.
Well, that would be nice to set an example. You know, one of my favorite expressions is when the fish stinks, it stinks from the head. I mean, you know, I've been characterized as the head for, you know, the radio station and the radio network and so forth. Anyhow, welcome back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special. I'm just trying to log into my email here because I want to play I want to replay a voicemail that Nikki didn't get a chance to hear last week because she wasn't here. But if you want to give us a call, we're just going to play around for the first hour here, and then we're going to go into some really serious, very riveting stuff that's going to be much worth your while in hour number two with a very special guest. But for now, let's see what Joe and Carmel has to say. Hey, Joe. Welcome
Hi.
To KSEO. You're on.
Yeah, I called in last week when Ellie Black was there debating Bill Monning.
Oh, you're that Joe in Carmel.
Yeah. I thought you were extremely, appallingly unfair to Ellie Black.
Really? Tell me why.
Because first I asked the question, California's budget is going to be $86 billion next year. Where are they going to get the money?
Mm-hmm.
Both of them answered with very small beer answers.
Mm-hmm.
So I interjected, look, is California going to go bankrupt and when?
Now, well, I remember that, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember how Ellie twisted in the wind with answering that question and how long you let her twist in the wind with that question?
No, but, you know, I've been so attacked by that program, by my moderation of that program and the program before from both sides, that I don't mean to sound arrogant, Joe, but I feel like I did everything right. Because when everybody attacks you from all ends, you know you're doing something right.
No, you did this 100% wrong, corruptly and incompetently.
Okay.
Because you didn't make Bill Monning even answer the question. As soon as Ellie Black was done twisting in the wind for something it seemed like a minute,
yeah.
An eternity, then all of a sudden...
Wait a minute.
All of a sudden you act like it's a ridiculous question. And you don't make Bill Monning answer the question. You just kind of nodded to him and said, you don't want to answer that question, did you? And Monning just kind of waved it off, and you let him not answer the question. Look, if California goes bankrupt next January, wouldn't you want a tape of Bill Monning saying, oh, California will never go bankrupt? Don't you want that tape?
Sure. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay. Well, I apologize. I did everything wrong then.
You certainly did that wrong, and it shows the corrosive corruption of political correctness that you are part of.
I'm part of political correctness?
You absolutely are.
Hey, Joe, how long have you been listening to your... Well, it doesn't sound like we're your favorite radio station, but how long have you been listening to us?
Where I used to live, I got a much worse reception. So I would say on and off for 7 or 8 years, but only I've been in the last couple of years. I've been spending time in a place where there's much, much better reception of your signal.
Oh, okay. All righty. So the message here, and I don't mean to be arrogant or sound arrogant or anything, but I remember that at one point Bill Monning was upset with me because someone asked a question of someone else, and he wanted to answer it. And I said, no, the question was asked of someone else, and I'm going to run the show here. Because, you know, people can walk all over you, and I decided that I set the rules, and that's the way it was. But anyhow, I apologize to you.
Do you think it's a ridiculous question to ask whether and when California's going to go bankrupt?
I honestly don't remember my reacting that way.
Can I speak to the Michaels Werling that did act that way?
I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word for it, I guess.
Well, you got plenty of time right now. Why don't you have Nikki James replay the tape?
No, we don't have that. We don't have that. But listen, what would you like me to do?
I would like you to have Nikki James replay the tape. Seriously.
We can't do that because
you don't have that tape.
You don't have it. We don't have it handy. We don't have it handy. You know what? You're pissing me off. Go, get lost. What an asshole. Okay, Michael in Live Oak, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Michael. Yeah. I have a question. I would have brought it up last week with Bill Bonney or some of the other people, but it's might have been a little bit complicated. I'm just wondering, I mean, you run a business, you know about income and expenditure. How does the California, I guess it's the treasurer, the state treasurer that handles the budget.
Yeah.
There's so much money coming in from taxes and so forth, and then there's so many things that need to be funded. How does the budget get so grossly out of out of balance? How does that occur?
I don't know. Idiots running things, I guess. The last caller whom I properly characterized, it did have a good point about well, never mind. Just go ahead. I sort of got discombobulated by that last caller. It really bothered me. But anyhow, you're asking me how things get out of whack?
In other words, the state is almost bankrupt from what I've heard.
Yeah?
And like, as a businessman, you know that you have so many expenses each month, and you have so much income.
Right.
And so you have to budget for that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like it's that complicated.
I think people are paying for things with funny money from the government, I guess, with printed dollars. I mean, I didn't think that happens at the state level, but I guess they've adopted the attitude that we have at the federal level. I mean, I don't know how else to answer that question.
Yeah.
I've got to live within my means. You're absolutely right. And every other private business that I know of has to live within its means.
Right. And our family budget and so forth. So.
Yeah.
And anyway, I know that years ago, I actually heard Jerry Brown on KSCO when he had that brief stint as a talk show.
Yes.
Is there any chance that how well do you know him? And I know he's really busy now.
Yeah, well, I hope to be able to get him on the Saturday special.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful.
I know he has a soft spot in his heart for KSCO because of his stint here. And he got up to about 30 affiliates with the Talk America Radio Network back in the mid-90s. But all of his calls came from this one station.
I remember that, yeah.
KSCO Country. So he used to love to come and do his program from KSCO, because he lived up in Oakland at the time. San Francisco. He hadn't quite moved to Oakland yet.
Right.
So he used to come down, and he would visit a couple of potential advertisers. He used to ask me and say, "Michael, how's it going with the advertising?" And I'd say, "Well, Jerry, not too well, actually." "Oh, really? I'm surprised. Well, why don't I come down and visit some potential advertisers with you?" And I said, "Would you do that?" And he said, "Sure, why not?" He did that a couple of times. And we brought him around to several, appropriately owned businesses who we think might be open to sponsoring a daily talk show on the local radio station that's done by the former governor. And we did. And the owners of those businesses were thrilled. I can't remember which ones they were, but they were thrilled that the former governor was coming along with me and Michael Olson to visit them. But they said, "Thanks, but no thanks." We never did get a sponsor. The last time I had Jerry on was shortly after 9/11. And I just wanted to see what he I don't know if we have that on the podcast page, but if we don't, we need to find that somewhere. Anyhow, answer is yes. The amazing thing about Jerry Brown is that the guy has an absolute photographic memory. I remember calling him once on the telephone saying, "Jerry," and he said, "I'll call you right back." And I said, "Well," but he hung up on me before I could tell him who I was or give him the phone number. And this was in the days before caller ID had been deployed in California. And the phone rang 3 minutes later saying, what's happening, Michael? What can I do for you?"
Wow.
So like two sentences, not even two sentences, two syllables, Jerry. He recognized my voice and knew to look up my phone number and call. Maybe he had my phone number here at the radio station memorized.
Yeah.
It would be great. I don't know whether, as governor, we'll be able to do that, but we can certainly try.
Yeah, I know that you lean more toward the conservative side, but I think you would have to acknowledge that he's an independent thinker. You know, he strikes me as not.
Well, that's what I always liked.
Yeah.
And I would say that, by and large, Jerry Brown's politics don't mesh all that well with mine.
Right.
But I got to tell you, and that Meg Whitman's did, I thought. But from the time her toxic. Oh, I sound like Sam Farr now. I think
I remember.
Disease.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, his nasty, the nasty Meg Whitman ads that were just horribly negative. I was predicting real early in the campaign that she's going to lose because she didn't know how to do anything except attack Brown.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And it really turned me off. It really, really turned me off.
You think her political career is washed up?
Yeah, I do.
No chance.
Yeah, I don't think she's very smart at all. I really don't. Just for no other reason what she allowed to happen. I don't know who was advising her or what, but that person's an idiot. People don't like negative ads. I think she very easily could have trounced Jerry Brown, even in this very, very liberal state.
One more thing. What was the reason he was able to run a third term? It was because the term limits were not established back when he was...
You know what? I don't know about that. Maybe someone else who's listening does. I plead ignorance on that one. But, well, Michael, thanks for the call, okay?
Sure, thank you, Mike. Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
You too, bye-bye.
Okay, it is now 10:29, hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. Hi, Annalise, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael. I'm going to turn off my radio. I was busy listening. I'm calling because I'm in response to Joe of Carmel. I was the person who called in and asked to speak to Ellie Black and asked her some specific questions about California's economic stability and how she might consider how to do otherwise. And Bill Monning tried to horn in on the question. And I said, this wasn't a question asked of you. This was a question asked of Ellie Brown. And I was asking about the finances, and I was asking about holistic care and how she might institute that as opposed to having it thrown or quashed out.
Yeah. And wasn't that the one where he wanted to answer and I said no, it wasn't directed?
Yes. I started out by saying, this is not a question I'm asking of you, Bill. I'm asking Ellie. And he started to override me, and you stepped in and said no. And I said, look it, the question, I'm the person calling. I'm the person asking the question. It is my question, and I'm asking Ellie Linda Black for her response. And you came in and supported that, and I very much appreciated it. And after that, there wasn't enough time because you had to go.
See, I don't like it when any guest, whether they're a sitting assemblyman or not, takes over because they're not running the show here at my house.
And
it's very rude for someone
program
to come into my living room,
right,
and take control. And that's what that guy was doing.
And the idiot in
Carmel was obviously very incensed. I mean, he's obviously, I bet the guy's his campaign manager or something.
I don't know, but he wasn't listening because it was not you initially who said get out.
Well, it
of
should have been
answer.
Me. It should have been me initially
because
I run the show.
No, it was. I actually just as soon as
I know
started
I remember
talking,
that
said,
now.
Get out of my question. And then you came in and supported that, and I very much appreciated it. And I don't appreciate the fact that Joe and Carmel does not listen well and then becomes both confrontive and antagonistic and totally disrespectful.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for listening. I wasn't even going to call in. I was just going to listen. But, of course, that did get my ire up, and I'm not even Irish.
Okay.
Thank you for
all
your
right,
mother's
Annalise
program. I very much appreciated her words this morning.
Thank you for the kind words. Take care. Yeah. That was Annalise and Soquel. It's 10:32 on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. The pilot in command, Nikki James herself, has indicated that it is time for a break. So let's take the break.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Regilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
If you work the land, Webb's Farm Supplies in Soquel and Husqvarna Power Tools can make your work easy. Whether you need professional-grade power for landscape and trees or consumer-grade power for home and garden, Webb's Farm Supplies has world-leading Husqvarna Power Tools, saws, trimmers, cutters, mowers, and parts for anything and everything new or obsolete. At 5381 Old San Jose Road for over 65 years, it's Webb's Farm Supplies and Husqvarna. Visit webbs-farmsupplies.com or call 475-1020. 475-1020.
Autumn is the time to make certain your home is safe and ready for the long nights of winter. Hello, I'm Charlie Friedman.
And I'm Tino from JM Electric. Charlie's right. Autumn is the time to get a free, no-obligation electrical safety assessment from JM Electric. Listen.
My name is Lane LeCompte, and I live in Soquel. My home is about 45 years old. They did a complete evaluation. They checked every light socket, every outlet, the wiring in the attic, outside. I have a swimming pool. They checked that. They checked everything, everywhere. They were wonderful. They really took care of everything, of all of the items we had. I sleep very well after the work that they did.
Call for a free, no-obligation electrical safety assessment from JM Electric today.
I'll personally come out and walk through your home to see if I can spot any trouble before it happens. I'm Tino at JM Electric, 422-7819. That's 422-7819. Or jmelectric.com and tell them Charlie sent you.
You might not be able to say it very easily. Apiary. That's what she said to me. Let me just tell you something about the rest. If you're into bees and beeswax, then you're into Pacific Crest.
Give the most this holiday season by giving the gift of honeybees. Hi, I'm Dana Mum of Pacific Crest Apiary's Honey Farm and Gift Store. Come out for a visit. We're just a stone's throw from Aptos at 875 Calabasas Road.
You'll find Dana's handcrafted beeswax candles in many styles, lots of delicious honeys, and a gift store stocked to the rafters with the kinds of gifts your loved ones will keep forever.
A proud member of Think Local First.
Back for me, Pacific Crest.
Pacific Crest.
Apiary.
Oh, how sweet.
Holiday hours Tuesdays to Sundays, 10 to 4:30. Directions at PacificCrestApiaries.com.
This just in from Jason Goldditch to mz@ksco.com. The subject says, Joe the caller is wasting his time and yours on California bankruptcy. MZ, tell this Joe guy that he is upset for nothing and wasting his time about California going bankrupt. I remember the call last week. Joe asked Bill Monning about California bankrupt. Bill Monning specifically told Joe that California cannot declare bankruptcy. This is a fact. California cannot declare bankruptcy. Joe could have looked up that himself. Now he bothered to call you again this week and ask the same question? What a moron! I use a different word. He asked you if it's a stupid question. Well, yes, it is a stupid question if your question was already answered and you keep asking the question. Thank you, Jason. Okay. If you want to send me an email now or anytime, it's mz@ksco.com. See, that's not hard to remember, is it? By the way, term limits, according to Chuck Carter here, term limits apply to consecutive terms only. Okay, that's what I thought, but does that mean a president, you know, does that mean that Bill Clinton can run for president, although after he's already served two terms, and that George Bush can run again in the future if they feel like it? I mean, I happen to believe that Bill Clinton could get elected president today. Maybe even easier than Obama, whom I also believe could be reelected instantly today, not by as much of a landslide, but definitely he would still be elected president today. It's just, what can I say? People are idiots. That's all I can say. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO with MZ, uncharacteristically opinionated today. If you want to call us, during the first hour, we're, just sort of, making it informal. Second hour, we're going to have some real serious substance. That's just a tease what we do here in radio land. So, yeah, if you're, make sure that you call everybody you know to say there's going to be something really special on hour number two of the KSCO Saturday special. But for right now, let's go back to the phone lines. Perry in Watsonville, thanks for calling 479-1080. You're on the air.
Hey, MZ. Yeah, I was listening to that show last night, the little interchange between Monic and Black there.
Yeah, last Saturday special, I mean, a week ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it was a good show, and I thought you did a fair job, but I think that, you know, the guy Monty was just really kind of a pushy bully, and I think that Ellie Black was just too meek and polite. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, one time someone called and asked about water fluoridation, which is a legitimate issue, you know, and I thought she gave, you know, kind of a nice, reasonable answer. And then he said that, you know, anyone who's against it is part of the John Birch Society and thinks communists are trying to poison us. And I think he did the same thing again with the smart meter issue. You know, he said that, oh, people who don't want it believe in black helicopters. I mean,
he did. Like, he did. Really, you're rude. Right.
Yeah, it was really rude and unreasonable, and she let him get away with that.
And so did I. But you know what? It isn't really my place to scold anybody, you know, I don't think, as
right,
a moderator.
Right,
so.
It was more her place to, yeah. You know, if she's running against him, she should have said, hey, you know, you're full of baloney on that. You
and
know,
and you're insulting a lot of people who shouldn't vote for you for that very reason.
Exactly. And it's, you know, I just bring it up because it was kind of frustrating. I just see that happening a lot where, you know, conservative candidates don't really
assert,
you know,
themselves.
Take these people to exactly. Yeah. So I just wanted to call and say I thought you did a fair job, but I just thought that guy was a bully and she was too meek.
Yeah. Okay. And so was the caller today. My God. She's. I was being nice to him. I'm a pretty mellow guy when it comes to constructive criticism. I look at it like free consulting. People spend a lot of money to find out how they can make themselves and their businesses better.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That guy was just just a prick. What can I say?
Okay. I'll get to you.
Yeah, thank you, Perry in Watsonville. Here comes Phil in Santa Cruz. Welcome to the Saturday special. You're on the air.
Hey, Michael. Hey. I'm going to go to a much more mundane subject just for a moment.
Oh, damn.
I'm computer literate. I would estimate that about 75 to 80% of my purchases are over the computer.
Yeah.
I do not use PayPal. I hate PayPal. They've screwed up so many of my accounts. They require you to have an account with them before you can buy anything, and I don't want
to. No, that's not true. That's not true.
Well,
that's not true. 99% of the people who bought Alex Jones tickets do not have an account with them, Phil.
Well,
so maybe it's a new thing since you've been using them. I don't know. But
well, when I went, it may be, but when I went online, I got the PayPal. I clicked on the PayPal, and they took me right to their thing. Well, we can't deal with you. You have to have an account. But what I wanted to suggest was I buy a lot of stuff, say, over Amazon.
Yeah.
PayPal may be one of their options. I don't know. But
But
by and large, they have shopping carts.
Yes.
Shopping carts aren't that hard to set up.
You know, no, I know that. They're real easy. But what I understand is a little more difficult and a lot more expensive is what they call these gateways for secure payments and so forth. You have to deal with a credit card company. No, you're absolutely wrong about if you go buy an advance, I don't know if you're interested in this, but what we have on the website right now is buy an advance copy of Kay's commentary book here. And there's two options. You can buy, you know, where you pay and pick it up at the radio station. And then there's another option where you pay there's shipping and handling in that for, I think, $7.95 or something. And we'll ship it to your snail mail address. But it won't be until after it's published, which will be probably 2 to 3 weeks from now. But that's why we want to get an idea of how many to order.
Well, I would come down to the radio station and buy one, so you could put one in the column for that. But
it doesn't work that way.
Oh, it doesn't.
No, you buy it. But I mean, but we're certainly going to publish it. If no one buys any advance copies, okay, then no one, and we just have to flip a coin and decide how many to order.
Well, I mean, whenever it comes up, if I can come to the radio station and buy it, I will. If I can.
I think that's what a lot of people are going to do. But what I'm saying is, if you went to the the website right now.
Yeah.
You could and just click on the buy now thing, and it'll take you to PayPal, and it'll all be filled out, ready for you to click here and go to your PayPal account. And then there's a little thing that says, don't have a PayPal account? Click here. And you click there, and you just enter your Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or Discover.
Okay. Well, when I clicked on PayPal, it didn't give me that option. It just said, this doesn't work for you.
Okay.
But anyway, shopping carts are easy, and whatever you're paying PayPal, and you probably are paying them something.
Oh, yeah. That's not cheap. I think it's 3.5% or 4.5% or something like that.
That's big.
Yeah, you're right.
You could pocket that. And you could take one of your sponsors. Charlie, by the way, does an excellent job of advertising.
Oh, yes.
Dieter and Andrea, I forget what their title of their business is, but I can remember their names. They're more memorable. Mm-hmm. Have them do you a shopping cart.
We'll see.
Okay.
Okay, appreciate the suggestion, Phil, and thanks for listening to KSCO, and thanks for calling the Saturday special.
Sure.
David in Felton, thanks for calling 479-1080. You're on the air.
Michael, hi.
Hey.
Good morning. I'm neither Republican or Democrat, and I don't know specifically why a country this size doesn't have 6, 7, or 8 parties, legitimate, strong parties. Instead, we only have 2, and that's pretty close to socialism if you really want to talk about socialism.
Right. You're absolutely right.
And a few moments ago, you said that Obama could be reelected right now.
I hope I'm wrong, but I think I'm right.
I actually don't think you're right. He's alienated too much of his base for that. In fact, I don't know why the conservatives hate him. He's been so much in their camp and so willing to compromise and water down so many of his ideas that I feel like, I voted for him because it wasn't any other choice. And I think he's pretty much burned all of these bridges he otherwise might have been able to keep by trying to make everybody happy. He was elected president, and instead he and his friends were all wishy-washy and didn't show much in the way of balls as far as this legislation session was concerned. So why do the conservatives hate him? I don't know. He certainly isn't a communist, and that's just name calling. And Bill Clinton, you implied that anybody that would reelect him would be stupid. But
did I say that? I've used the term idiot in this radio program 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
And I have to apologize for being so unimaginative with my vocabulary.
Well,
Did I say that anybody who would elect Bill Clinton is an idiot?
Well, you put them together. You said Obama and Bill Clinton could be reelected.
Yes.
Can I say? People are idiots.
Okay, I think that is exactly what I said.
Well, I agree. Name calling for just on a personal level, I think it's a little juvenile, and I find that doesn't shock me. I've heard it all and used it all. I just feel like when it comes to politics and radio shows, I think people diminish their credibility when they resort to name calling.
I have to agree with you, and thanks for pointing that out.
Oh, sure. No, I think you run a good ship, and
I sort of got knocked off track by that caller today. I guess I let it bug me too much. Because anything that moves me I've used a bunch of names today. It's like I don't have any vocabulary.
It's epidemic right now. And I'm not shocked. I sort of roll my eyes when I hear it. And I think liberals as well as conservatives are so alienated and so angry at each other. I try to be intellectually honest, and I know that name calling doesn't get anything done, but I hear specifically from the conservative base that, liberals are mentally ill, liberals have genetic defects. And I've traveled from in my car cross country, and I've listened to all of these conservative talk shows, and every one of them are saying these things. And, you know, I know that most of it is tongue in cheek, but there's an element out there that sort of.
I agree with you. I'm not sure that most of it is tongue in cheek. I think most of it is truly believed, but. This is why Alex Jones is becoming so popular. I can see him becoming a superstar. He's the only one in radio who's doing anything different, who's original. Now, people say that, you listen to him and you get depressed, you want to commit suicide. But you know what? He's changing, and he's coachable. I've gotten to know the man, he's young, and he's brilliant, and he's on to something. He's on to something, and the radio industry doesn't know who this guy is yet. He is huge on the internet. When he was on Monday the 25th, right between the first and second Coconut Grove events that we put on, Alex was here sitting at the same table with the microphone right next to me, doing his live show on the GCN radio network that went out to millions of people. Now, I'm not saying he's got as many people listening to him on the internet as Rush does, say. They said that Rush has maybe 15 to 20 million people listening to him each day over the radio. And I believe, just from the stats, from the web stats, that Alex has 2 to 3 million people listening to him every day on the internet. He's largely unknown in the world of broadcast radio. But I see that changing, and I'm going to help that. I'm going to help change that, because I think the radio industry is apoplectic. I don't know, is that the right word? But there's just nothing happening with the radio industry right now. It's really almost dead.
The same thing over and over again.
It needs some life. It needs some life injected and something different. And the something different, besides his passion, he sees things that I don't give a damn. I don't trust either the Republicans or the Democrats. They're all scoundrels as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
You know?
I agree.
And it's
all
about corporatism. It's all about the central banks. And that's a little clue about what's going to happen starting in about 16 minutes from now.
I think we have to be careful, though, that we don't default into paranoia, because that seems to be the trend and the pattern and the fashion, that everything is a conspiracy.
Well, do you think I'm turning into a paranoiac person?
I think you tend to pander to a certain element in Santa Cruz that is, and I find that some of this stuff is a little loony. And even I've heard Alex Jones before, and I'll listen to him for about 10 minutes and then I'll turn him off.
Yeah,
I think he's entertaining, but then he gets into conspiracy.
When's the last time you did listen?
You know, I just finished a road trip, and I was traveling through Texas, and there he was, mm-hmm. and I was listening to it, and some things he's right spot on. He's mixing fact with conspiracy stuff, and I think that this country right now, it seems to be the fashion, is scary stuff. You know, a lot of...
there's a lot to be scared about. Don't you agree?
I agree. But that doesn't mean that I have to stop thinking and listening to people who are trying to get me scared in order to vote
one way or
whatever. I think we all have to be careful.
Well, I know that Alex is a big supporter of Ron Paul, and so am I. I think that guy is pure class, and I don't know how you feel about Ron Paul.
Oh, he's got some great ideas.
I can find nothing wrong with the man at all.
Yeah. I wish that
he could be President Ron Paul. I really do.
I really
wish that he could be president, but I don't think it'll happen. I think the guy's getting a little too old. Maybe his son Rand, but there has to be, you know, they're Tea Party type people. I think, you know, need to somehow get enough traction, and they're not going to get it through what they call the mainstream media, although every day that passes, what they call the mainstream media, in my opinion, becomes more and more irrelevant.
Yeah. Well, they're less and less independent operators like yourself. They're all conglomerates. You're talking
3 or 4.
It's such a sad thing, and I would like, I hope and pray that the direction we're going in this country is away from corporatism and towards localism.
I think that's a noble wish, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't see it happening. Everything is getting very small.
Because of economies of scale.
Newspapers,
it's very, very difficult to run this radio station, and people aren't getting rich with the salaries we pay here. Believe me, right, Nikki? Oh, Nikki is not there. She's somewhere else on the radio. I turned over and turned around. She wasn't there. But anyhow, it's very, very expensive to run an operation like this, and that's why you don't find them, even in big cities. Yeah. Everything is syndicated radio. We have one or two syndicated programs. I guess we have three. We have George Norrie, we have Rush, and we have Alex. And everything else we do is generated here. And to me, that's what the job of a local radio station should be. And there are plenty of local radio stations left in the world. Most of them are starving. Most of them are ready to go under. And the reason is because no one wants to listen to them because they don't put out anything worth listening to.
Yeah. You know? I miss, I can't remember his name, but he actually did parodies of talk shows.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry was a genius.
Yeah.
I miss him dearly.
Yeah.
If anything, he's still on the air, by the way. But
yeah, I understand. He's at it. If we put him on, we would have to take off George Norrie, and I think we'd be lynched.
Yeah.
You know, the timing isn't quite right. Anyhow,
thank you.
Thank you very much for calling, David. Now, Bob and Felton, it's your turn to speak on your favorite radio station.
Hi, MZ. How you doing?
Good, Bob. How are you?
Yeah, long-time listener, since you guys have owned it anyway. I listen to Santa Cruz. 60 years. Hey, I haven't heard anything lately, so what's the latest on your FCC license as far as did you make your goal?
We did, and thank you for bringing that up. We did, and $2,900, almost $3,000 of it was from our good friend Scott Gold from Shirt Crafters, which is a local business here that donated $3,000 or $4,000 worth. In fact, we still have some of the Alex Jones event t-shirts available that we were selling at the event. And I thought we had sold out, but I guess there was a box that was underneath something that no one knew about. So we still have some more. But the answer is yes.
I dropped off 50. I dropped off 50 at the station. So
thank
you
so much.
If you weren't enough, I was going to do more.
Oh, wow. Well, listen, you know, we'll take it. We'd love to get the jump on next year. You don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. If people want, and here's another thing that I want to talk about that I really appreciate your bringing up. People in here around the radio station, the staff and the sales manager and so forth, they cringe every time I get on the air and say, if you like our radio station, you don't have to be a business. You can send us $10. You can send us $100. You can send us anything that makes you feel good, and we'll put it to good use. Believe me, you know. And the staff just thinks that makes us sound, you know, so weak, and it sends a bad message to the advertisers, like we're going to go under or something. It's not that way at all.
Okay, well, let me give it to you from my perspective, from a longtime listener.
Yeah.
Okay, I live in between Felton and Ben Lomond. I call in all the time with weather reports, down power lines, this kind of stuff. This station is invaluable for that alone, let alone anything else you do to me. It's why, since you asked for this, I think this is the second or third year, it's why I contribute.
Yeah. No,
it's
great.
Because
we
of that alone. I do have a smart meter thing for you, though. I've had a smart meter for 4 months.
Yeah.
I didn't know it. I just showed up one day and it was there. And if anybody is worried about the bill, I don't know. In most cases, mine has not moved a dime in either direction in 4 straight months.
Uh huh. Okay, good.
As far as the bill going way out of line or that, it has not moved a dime.
I just don't like the idea about anything that can be possibly medically dangerous, you know, through its emissions. Like on the other side of a wall from where people sleep and stuff like that, that where it's jammed down your throat and they say you got to take it whether you like it or not. I don't like that.
I'm kind of the same way, but I've gone to some of these places where these people that are upset about this, and every one of them's got one of those earpieces in their ear that's got to be doing way more damage, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's tongue-in-cheek. We don't know what's out there, but, like I said, my $50 will be coming next year. When you ask for it again, you'll be getting it.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much.
Okay.
Bonnie Doon Bob. Appreciate you. Okay. Felton Bob, excuse me.
Yeah.
Now we're going to go to Bonnie Doon Bob. Hey, Bonnie Doon Bob, welcome to KSCO. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Mike. How are you?
Good.
That assertion that Bill Moaning made, that the Social Security system's in the black.
Did he say that?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
I don't know where he was.
I must have been on a different planet or something.
Well, I can tell you why he's saying that. Do you remember years ago where the Senate and the Congress, they changed the terms of the underlying debentures that actually pay for it to where it's a non-maturing type debt? Okay, so it never has to come to maturity, so they don't have to pay the loan back.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the way the whole government works, you know.
Well, I guess...
Municipal bonds and everything like that.
I guess when you get these, our representatives back on, I think you shouldn't lob them softballs. I think you should really nail them.
You know what?
Well, come on. I mean, I work for a living.
Uh-huh.
And I don't vote no because I want a raise.
Okay.
I mean, you know the routines they're doing over there.
I have been frequently criticized in the rare occasions that we do that we do these candidates' forums. I don't know what that horrible noise is in the background.
Well, I'm working for a living because I have to support this Bill Moaning idea.
Okay. All righty.
I guess the thing is, because you're a vet too, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry to say. I mean, I wish I was.
No, but I have
the highest regard for people like you.
I am, and when I listen to these guys talk, they have no idea what the Constitution is about and how Congress truly needs to work, and they're not interested.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, I'd appreciate it if you just lay some plank on those guys.
I will. I will next time. Promise. Okay.
Hey,
well, I thought the callers would take care of it, but anyhow, whatever. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose, back in 6 minutes.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. President Obama is in India, where he's calling new trade deals with that country a win-win.
It's a very, very big deal.
Boeing CEO Jim McNerney on trade with India as it's announced his company will sell 10 C-17 military aircraft and 30 737s to India. And that's just part of nearly $10 billion in deals announced by the White House. It includes a Harley-Davidson assembly plant in India. But the president says the jobs created here in India will also create jobs back at home.
It is a dynamic, two-way relationship that is creating jobs, growth, and higher living standards in both our countries.
In fact, the administration says just the deals announced on this trip will support almost 54,000 American jobs. In Mumbai, Mike Makowicz, Fox News Radio.
An Al-Qaeda offshoot in Yemen claiming responsibility for those package bombs last week that were sent to the United States and intercepted in Dubai and Britain. The group used websites to take the credit. It is the second day of deliberations for a man convicted of killing three people in a Connecticut home invasion. Jurors must decide now if Stephen Hayes should live or die. On day one of deliberations, jurors seemed deeply divided over a critical point. Today, they've asked for a readback of testimony from a psychiatrist who testified for the defense. Stephen Hayes was convicted last month for the brutal 2007 murders of a Cheshire, Connecticut woman and her two daughters. The 12 jurors deciding whether he should be put to death or face life in prison, his attorney telling the jury a life sentence would actually be harsher than death because his client is haunted by the crime and isolated in prison. Prosecutors say the crime cries out for the death penalty. Lori London, Fox News Radio.
Turn back your clocks. Daylight saving time comes to an end at 2 o'clock tomorrow morning. Your fire department would also like you to take a minute and change the batteries in your smoke detectors. Arizona and Hawaii do not observe daylight saving time. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
You're in the Fox Light.
Brooklyn's son, the Jewish Elvis, leads this week's Fox Light music release roundup. Neil Diamond covers the Beatles, the Eagles, Bill Withers, and others on Dreams. The other Elvis returns as well. Elvis Costello splits the difference on National Ransom with a combo of roots tracks recorded with the Sugarcanes and rock tracks with the Imposters. Go country with Jason Aldean's My Kind of Party or Brad Paisley's Hits Alive with a disc of studio hits plus a disc of hits done live. Huey Lewis and the News roll into Mempo for a disc of Stax soul covers, appropriately titled Soulsville. And the finally, admittedly pregnant Mariah Carey goes holiday once again on Merry Christmas to You. There's a lot more only on the Fox Light blog and podcast at foxnewsradio.com. In New York, Rob Moore, Fox News Talk.
The Fox Light.
Keep listening for more Focus from the Fox Light on Fox News Talk. Federal scientists say they found damage to a deep sea coral just a few miles from the Gulf oil spill.
An expedition from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration used a robot that found a patch of dead coral 130 by 50 feet, about 4,600 feet under the surface of the Gulf of Mexico. These kind of coral colonies that pop up on the sea floor are vital oases for marine life. And while up until now, federal teams have been painting a relatively rosy picture about the spill's effects on the sea and its ecosystem, this finding indicates damage from the spill could be significantly greater than previously acknowledged. A biologist on the expedition saying this is the, quote, smoking gun, and that the coral is covered in, quote, gunk. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
The U.S. military has planes up over Haiti now, checking to see what areas need the most help after Hurricane Tomas. Haiti is still recovering from January's massive earthquake. Former President George W. Bush is out with a book, Decision Points. And the former president is hitting the book publicity trail.
The former president says without a doubt he's done with politics.
It's hard for people to believe. I already said that. I am through.
In an interview to air Tuesday on the Oprah Winfrey Show, President Bush talks about why we haven't heard him talk about President Obama.
He's got a plenty tough job, trust me. And there's going to be plenty of critics, and he doesn't need me criticizing him. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's good for the presidency.
Yeah.
Other people have a different point of view.
Perhaps a reference to former Vice President Cheney, who has often blasted President Obama. Rich Johnson, Fox News Radio.
Anyone who's ever had to pay for a college textbook know they cost more than a couple nights at the Waldorf Astoria. Some thought the situation was renting the books, the solution, I should say, but that's not helping much, according to the National Association of College Stores. Bookstores say they're limited by the number of titles that are available to rent and by publishers who frequently put out new editions. College students spend between $600 and $900 a year buying books. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Partly cloudy today. Got a high of about 67, and the west winds will be between 5 and 10 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be partly cloudy, getting overcast late with a low of 52, south-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And Sunday, we've got a rainy day for Sunday. About an inch of rainfall and a high of 62. South-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the west winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 13 seconds, and tonight, south winds 5 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 13 seconds, and Sunday, south winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, west swell 2 to 4 feet at 11 seconds. For your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, nothing major to report at this time. I'll let you know if I see something, and you can let me know by calling 475-1080 if you see something out there. As far as current temperatures go, we've got Salinas at 59. 59 also in Watsonville. And in Monterey, it's 57. We're at 60 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. Official time, 11:06 and 54 seconds on this Saturday, November 6th. Up next, second hour. Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Nikki James.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
want to thank our good friend, owner of Connection Magazine, Tom Kobe, for coming up with the idea for the guest that we're going to be bringing on in just a second here. So stay with us for the next hour. You'll be happy you did.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSEO Radio. Bye.
And while we're thanking people, we want to thank the California Grill Restaurant in Freedom, California, located at the intersection of Freedom Boulevard and Airport Boulevard, a wonderful place to eat, reasonably priced. I'd use the term gourmet food. It's pretty darn good food. My favorite is the calamari parmesan and the roast turkey sandwich that you can only get for lunch unless you want it for dinner and you say MZ sent you, MZ from KSCO.com. Calamari parmesan is only on the menu once every 2 weeks or something as a special. But, again, if you say, I'm here because of KSCO and MZ sent me, and I want to thank you for sponsoring the Saturday special, then they'll make it special for you. Anytime. On demand. Pretty cool, huh? Doesn't that make you feel powerful? Anyhow, it's the California Grill Restaurant with the chef from the old Adolph's in Santa Cruz. When they closed down a few years ago, people were very upset. But guess what? That wonderful chef and menu surfaced at the California Grill in Freedom. Again, it's located at the corner of Freedom Boulevard and Airport Boulevard. So thank you very much for sponsoring the Saturday special. Catherine Austin Fitz is the president of Solari Incorporated, the publisher of the Solari Report, and a supporter of the 9/11 Truth Movement. Now, I think some of you might be scratching your head saying, I've heard that name somewhere. Well, if you listen to your favorite radio station, if you listen to George Norrie, Catherine Austin Fitz is a favorite guest of George Norrie. I believe she's been on Alex Jones, and she's just got off an interview, or she would have been here probably an hour earlier for the Saturday special. But Catherine Austin Fitz is a fascinating lady. And I've heard her bring into focus what is going on with the financial system in this country. She has a BA from the University of Pennsylvania and an MBA from the Wharton School and studied Mandarin and at the Chinese University of Hong Kong, publishes a column, Mapping the Real Deal in Scoop in New Zealand. Very interesting armload of credentials here. Fitz served as managing director and member of the board of directors of the Wall Street investment bank Dillon Reed & Company, as assistant secretary of housing and federal housing commissioner at the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development in the first Bush administration, and was the president of Hamilton Securities Group Incorporated, an investment bank and financial software developer. She is now the president of Solari. Enough reading from Wikipedia. And boy, I mean, I'm impressed when someone makes Wikipedia. Someday I might make Wikipedia. I mean, my name is in there, and so is Kay's, but it's not under my name or her name. It's under KSCO, the legendary radio station that you are listening to now. But let's bring on Catherine and lock her in and say welcome to KSCO, Catherine.
It's nice to be here.
You've actually been on a number of times through syndicated radio.
But, right.
Here you are, and I believe you are in town.
Yeah.
For an event that's going to be over the hill at Stanford University coming this Monday?
It's at SAP.
SAT?
SAP.
Oh.
It's called Future Salon. If you go to futuresalon.org, you can read all about it, or you can link from the events portion of our website at solari.com. And it's a salon that it'll also, you can access it through a webinar.
Okay.
It's an effort to have various conversations. You know, it's like the old-timey salons. And it brings together people mostly in the IT industry, is my understanding. And there's sort of an hour for networking, and then we all speak, and then we'll have a fair amount of time for questions and answers and discussion. And the idea is, how do we create positive futures?
How do we create positive futures? What a great opening question for your interview
The first way to create a positive future is to understand what's really going on.
Yeah.
You know, to create positive futures, first you need, the first thing you need is power. And the way you get that power is to say, okay, well, whatever it is, it's my problem. I'm gonna make this my problem. Never forget a friend of mine who became a Buddhist, and she said, it's a little bit overwhelming. I'm told I'm responsible for world peace. Wow. How do I do that? Anyway, so the first thing you do is you say, okay, well, you know, I'm going to take responsibility for the way it is now. And then the second thing you need to do is you need to kind of, you know, it's like in the mall where you have that red dot that says you are here. You need a map of what's going on and where you are in the scheme of things. And so I think one of the first things you can do is really say, okay, well, what's going on? And then the next thing you can do is you can say, okay, well, how can I proceed to live my life, live my dream, live my passion, but do it in a way that contributes to the greater whole? And my whole life I've been a money person, whether an investment banker, now an investment advisor. And when I left the Bush administration at the beginning of the 90s, I really came out terrified about sort of where things were headed in terms of centralizing control through the financial system. And I said, you know, we need another plan. And I spent a lot of time building software tools and databases that would let me look at the U.S. and global economy and sort of simulate where we were and how we could do better. And I came to the following conclusion, and that was if you look at how we manage our money, whether it's how you manage your savings or IRA or 401k or how the big institutional investors manage their money, the goal is to improve the return to the investors. And there's no effort in terms of analytics to look at what I call the total economic return, which is what is the impact of that investment on the wider culture and economy, including the ecology, which is very important, because what we're watching is a financial system that's making money by destroying wealth, not creating wealth. You know, this kind of speculative financial system is hugely destructive of the real economy. And so, they're making paper money, but it's by liquidating the real muscle. And so the question I had is, how could we encourage investors, whether it's you and me individually or the big institutions, to start to look at what I call the total economic return, which includes both the return to investor and the return to the network, and use that as a navigation tool to prevent risk on the return to the investment or to improve the returns. And it's interesting, the investors who followed that philosophy didn't lose money on Enron. They didn't lose money in the housing bubble because they had stayed on firm economic ground as opposed to getting traded around in the paper economy.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of what I do and a lot of my work revolves around how people can get that map, that picture, that transparency of what's really going on. And so, each of us has our own unique situation and goals, but then how can I navigate that in a way that protects me and my family, but does it in a way that makes a contribution to the greater whole. Particularly, one of my interests is our local community, because, you know, think of our community as the molecule of the body. If the planet's the body, you know, then we're the molecules, and there's no way that the body's going to be healthy unless the molecules are healthy. So sort of we need to do this one household and one community at a time.
I believe you live in Tennessee, am I right?
Yes, I live in Hickory Valley, Tennessee, and I'm in the process. I'm leaving my office in Hickory Valley, and I'm in the process of moving over to the Hohenwald area in mid-Tennessee, which is south of Nashville. Right now I'm next to Memphis.
Oh, okay. And I know that you and I are on the same page about the importance of local community. And you weren't listening last hour because I know you were engaged in an interview somewhere else.
Florida, Jacksonville.
Okay. Yeah, but it comes up. But we're very proud to be a locally owned and operated radio station There are very few locally owned and operated radio stations left in the country.
That's right.
And of the ones that are left, they pretty much do all. They're just a conduit for national feeds.
Right.
Okay. Now we have our share of national feeds. We have Rush Limbaugh is what we call our anchor tenant.
Uh-huh.
And we have Coast to Coast AM uh-huh. with George Norrie, and we have Alex Jones. And uh-huh. I believe you've been on Alex Jones also. Am I right?
Uh huh. I've been on yeah. Alex and obviously I'm on Coast to Coast a fair amount, and yeah. which I love. And I have never met or talked to Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm. I have. He's a kick. He's definitely uh-huh. a kick. I've met him a number of times actually. But here's the thing. Here's the point. Everything else besides those syndicated programs that I listed a minute ago, we generate our own programming, and it's community oriented, talking about local issues and national issues where local people can get on, because, you know, when you call Rush or you call George, it's pretty hard to get on the air
yeah.
as a caller. So we're very proud of that. And I see that the radio industry has been destroyed. It's been emasculated. It's been because of this corporate deregulation. And I'm pretty much a free market guy. Always have been. Always will be. But it's just awful what's happened with corporate greed and taking over. You know. There's just no honor anymore. There's nothing honest.
Well, there is honor because, you know, if you ever conduct business with me, you'll be treated with great respect and honor. So there is honor.
Let's do some business now.
Okay, good. So, you know, here's what you've had. This is all part of the centralization process. If a large corporation can finance at essentially 0%, so they can, you know, they or their banker can borrow money on the, you know, the yen carry trade for 0%, and then you've got to finance with bank debt and credit card debt or equity. You've got to finance with retained earnings. They're financing at 0%, and you're financing at 10 or 20 or 30%. And it doesn't take long to figure out that they're going to end up buying up everything and then gutting it in the kind of ways, gutting the content in the ways that you've described. And so this is the story of small business in almost every industry across the country. I live in Tennessee, and 20% of the population when I left, I'm sure it's larger now, is on food stamps. Well, we are paying people to be on unemployment compensation and food stamps. At the same time as the state, we're paying J.P. Morgan Chase in India to do the customer service, data servicing jobs, on the food stamp contract when the people who are sitting in Perry County with no jobs could be doing that job. So we're paying people to not work at the same time we're paying somebody in India to do a job that they could do. And we have thousands of acres of fabulous farmland lying fallow while the government is paying for food to be brought in from far, far away, you know, like Latin America. And the fact that they can engineer those contracts through the food stamp program allows them to push everybody off the land in Latin America.
It's not idiocy. It's just plain corruption.
No, it's not. And it's not just plain corruption. I beg to differ.
Oh, okay.
It's a plan.
All right.
This is a plan. I wrote, and you can find it online, I wrote a story, online book called Dylan Reed and the Aristocracy of Stock Profits. And I always recommend to people that they read that book, as well as if you come to my blog, go to solari.com and click over to the blog. There's a wonderful interview on Charlie Rose by Sir James Goldsmith in 1994, where Sir James Goldsmith explains that if we adopt the GATT, the latest round, the Uruguay round on GATT, and institute the World Trade Organization, he predicts everything that will happen, including long-term structural unemployment in the United States and Europe, and literally global massive consolidation of agriculture into the corporate industrial establishment in a process that can only be described as genocide. He lays the whole thing out. He predicts the whole thing. He was dead on, absolutely true. I know because I was in Washington, saw the same thing. This was not an accident. This was all a plan. We knew exactly what would happen to the American middle class in globalization, and which is why I and a group of other people were at the table and doing the things I was doing through Hamilton Securities Group, saying, look, we need the American middle class to pay down their debt, build new skills. We need to do the following. We need to re-engineer government investments so the pension funds will have enough money for the baby boomers' retirement. And a decision was made that was clear and conscious, saying, no, we're not going to do any of that thing at all. We're going to bubble the economy, suck as much capital out as we can, both legally and illegally, and we're going to leave the American middle class high and dry, and by the time they figure out what's happened, it will be too late. It was absolutely a plan.
Okay, why? What's?
Well, you know, it's a combination of things, but absolute power, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Okay, so we're back to my statement that you disagreed
no.
with about corruption.
Yeah, but let's talk about there's a difference between governance and corruption, and we're not talking about people who are pulling money out and putting it in their offshore accounts and Ferraris. Yes, they're doing all of that. But we're talking about literally a breakaway civilization where trillions are being moved and invested in private armies, private space programs. I mean, that's what the black budget is all about. And a fundamental re-engineering of how governance is practiced on planet Earth. And it's not run as, a bunch of secret societies running off and making money. It's run by a series of committees and people saying, okay, let's change how, we think democracy doesn't work. It's failed. Communism has failed. We need a new system. And so we're going to move assets out of sovereign governments and into corporations and then proceed to manage in a variety of ways that are not accountable to the average person. And in the process, we're going to, I would say, whether it's create massive poverty or depopulation, but we're going to centralize the control of resources, and we're going to centralize wealth. And the way we're going to protect the environment is literally reduce the footprint of most people on the planet. So, you wipe out the American middle class. If everybody in America becomes very poor, then their environmental footprint is smaller. So, I would really encourage anyone who doesn't see this as a fundamental reengineering of how things are managed to watch that Sir James Goldsmith videotape and to read my book, Dylan Reed and the Aristocracy of Stock Profits, because to engineer a housing bubble like this takes enormous resources, lots of planning, lots of work at the federal, state, and local, levels in government, as well as in the financial system and in the central bank and the Federal Reserve system. So this took a lot of work and a lot of engineering to get accomplished.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions I was going to bring up last hour and didn't get to, and it's much more appropriate. It's almost better that I didn't, because I can ask you this question. And this is a rhetorical question for anybody out there now, okay? Do you have any money? Most people I know don't have any money at all. But people who do have money, where can you safely keep it? I mean, there's...
Well, let me just say everybody's different. And so it's very important.
But the trust factor. I mean, I don't trust necessarily that the money I put in the bank is going to be there when I want it. So I'm wondering, maybe I should pay off all my debts if I can. I mean,
well, but let's go through how this environment has shifted and what it means, because when the fundamental economics of the environment shift, then what makes sense for us to do shifts as well. So let's just walk through the different pieces. The first piece is my overhead. For many decades, Americans have been shifting. They've been outsourcing more and more functions. So once upon a time, our grandparents or great-grandparents, essentially put their capital into things that they use. So they were on a farm and they grew their own food, and they used their capital to provide the equipment or the land to do all of these things for themselves. And then what happened is we perceived that we could get a much better deal by instead taking our capital, putting into corporate or banking securities, getting a yield, and using that yield to then turn around and buy at the company store. So I'm putting money into Walmart stock, and then I'm taking my money and going and buying my stuff at Walmart. And so we've got the corporations in the middle. You know, we've been intermediated, if you will. And now what we're discovering is, you know, maybe we can't depend on that food to be safe, and maybe we can't depend on them to produce the yield, or, you know, they're playing games with this, with the securities or pumping and dumping the stocks. So maybe we need to stop getting harvested in the middle of that, and that's called disintermediation. So let me give you an example. I tell the story often of sitting with three women in Tennessee and discovering that one had her retirement savings in a bank, which had a large New York bank as its correspondent. And she, at the time, yields were higher. She estimated she was getting about 3 or 4%. And then the second woman had her IRA in stock of that same New York bank, and she estimated she was getting about 5%, although in 2008 she would have lost everything, at least on a temporary basis. And then in the third woman was had a credit card from that same bank and was borrowing the money back at 23%. Well, that means the, you know, two friends are giving the bank money at 4 or 5%, And literally their best friend is borrowing it back at 23%. Now, what's wrong with that picture?
I mean, it's usurious, isn't it?
Well, it is ethically. You know, we found a way to make it technically legal. Now, but the reality is we don't need to be stupid. So if you start engineering, one of the reasons I encourage people, I have a little investment club idea called Solari Circles. It's like a financial action club. If we start talking about our money, it's pretty simple to figure out how, you know, either you can do it yourself or with the help of a servicer, you can go and work with a community bank, because most people don't want to be in the lending or financial business. But you can literally cut half of the, you know, those two people, instead of getting 4 and 5%, can get 10%. The person paying 23% could be paying 12%, and a community bank could be getting a spread, and everybody locally could be, you know, making more money or spending less money.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. So I think we got to get out of the mode of whining and say, okay, now, because we're the ones who are shipping all of our money to Wall Street and Washington.
Right.
I mean, we're choosing to do that, and we have the power to completely shift our purchases, our donations, our transactions away from the large institutions who are part of this centralization to the ones who are not. I mean, every, and I know you do too, every week on the Solari Report, I present another excellent person with an excellent practice or an excellent business or an excellent enterprise of some kind who's trying to protect people's freedom and trying to help them see what's going on and trying to give them options, including, you know, in their finances, to protect. Now, let's go to the second thing. So the first thing you can do is disintermediate these guys out of your pocketbook and out of your head and out of your lives. You know, stop listening to big national media. Start listening to you. And so get them out of our minds, get them out of our pocketbooks. Then the second thing we need to do is protect our assets from being harvested. Now, in addition to investing in your home base in a way that reduces your overhead, because with inflation continuing to kick off, you need to get your overhead as modest as possible. And there's so many things we can do. Okay, now the second thing we can do, we've all operated with just-in-time inventories. But the reality is there's no reason we have to. If I have money in a money market account or a bank CD and I'm getting 1% yield and after taxes I'm getting 0.5%, and Duracell batteries are going up by 5% a year and I don't have to pay capital gains tax or income tax on that 5% increase, well, why am I operating with a just-in-time inventory of that stuff? You know, why not go out and make sure I have a very significant inventory of non-perishables that I'm really going to use. Okay, it's a different way of thinking.
You don't want the batteries to expire.
No, so you have to manage it so that you're on a cycle where it's not perishable. But you know, I regularly run with 2 years worth of paper towels and toilet paper. You know, they're not going to corrode.
That's a good idea. Yeah, you're right.
Right. They're not going to corrode. I've got like 5 years of brooms. You know, because you can trade vodka. I can trade vodka. You know,
very, very good point.
Right. So if you look at the tangibles in our life that are non-perishable, I started to do this, and I was amazed at how much of my money, you know, got out of the money market and got into my storage room. So there's shifting, lowering our overhead, investing in our home base to lower our overhead. You know, another thing I've done is edible landscapes and orchards and gardens and whatever, you know, so I'm much more food resilient than I used to be, and I've shifted some of my capital into that. Okay, so then there's our big, big danger, and that is inflation. If you look at the amount of money, let's say you put $10,000 in a bank CD in 2003 and got a certain yield on it, and in 2008 it matured 5 years later, you literally lost half your purchasing power when you valued that $10,000 in a gallon of gasoline.
Right.
So you could buy half the gallons of gasoline after 5 years. Now, I did a calculation and said, okay, let's look at a whole community. How much money did they have sitting in dollars or dollar fixed income, bank CDs, bonds, other things just denominated in dollars that didn't have commodity or other valuation behind it? Well, if you look at a county of 100,000 people, my estimate is they lost $3.3 billion of purchasing power over that five-year period by having money sitting around in dollars.
Sure.
So our currency is being debased. Currencies around the world are being debased. And so one of the things that has worked historically during this period is precious metals. And so it is very much worth people's time to educate themselves and learn about precious metals and how to protect yourself from currency debasement. Now, it's not a magic bullet because precious metals are very volatile.
Sure.
They're politically managed. There are all sorts of risks of being in precious metals.
And they can be picked up and stolen from you.
Right, they can be picked up and stolen. There are ways of owning them that protect against that, but then you don't have control. So there are all these issues. But what's important to understand is as there are risks in holding your value in precious metals, there are tremendous risks in holding your value in paper currency or paper securities that are being debased as we speak.
Okay.
And so we need to educate ourselves about that and determine what our options are. So one of the reasons I go back to, you know, my paper towels and toilet paper, you know, toilet paper is being debased a lot less, unfortunately, than my currency right now.
Yeah.
So we need to educate ourselves and protect ourselves as to where, you know, when we keep our money in paper as opposed to tangibles. Now, the last thing, and this is very important, we've watched the economy really change in ways that are invisible to many of us. And every household and every county are now much more dependent on the federal credit. So if you look county by county, state by state, many more people are dependent on Medicare, Social Security, agriculture subsidies, or working for companies that get defense contractors or that get housing subsidies, or a whole variety of federal money. At the same time, if you look at the stocks and bonds in our IRAs or 401ks, you know, ooh la la, same thing's happening to them. They're much more dependent on federal subsidies, federal contracts, federal credit. And if you look at many, many household investments, what you're seeing now is you're seeing literally no diversification. What you're seeing is basically it looks like you've got a whole bunch of different stocks and bonds and mutual funds, but they're basically all the same as holding U.S. Treasuries. It's all dependent on the federal government's ability to borrow more money and force people around the world to take those securities or dollars. And so it's extremely, a lot of people discovered in 2008 what they thought was a diversified asset base was not. And mm-hmm. So one of the most important things you need to do is understand where your money's going, make sure it's not financing the kind of things that are really destroying the world, and try and get it shifted to something that makes fundamental economic sense.
When I pay my bank mortgage for my home,
uh-huh.
Okay. Am I financing something that I don't want to finance or that I shouldn't want to finance? And if I can pay off my mortgage, even though I'm very tempted not to because it's a very,
right.
very low rate.
Right.
But it's still a much higher rate than I could than they're paying me in the bank. So
right.
Maybe
you may in fact be, it depends on who's got the mortgage and how it works, but you may in fact be financing the very thugs, you know. Every time you do business with the guys who are behaving in corrupt ways, you give them energy, you give them power.
So yeah, and this is like five mortgages. My mortgage has been sold five times probably since I made it originally four
right.
or 6 years ago.
Now, if you look at the question of should I pay off my debt, should
yeah.
I pay off my mortgage,
yeah.
there, you know, this is like the joy of cooking. There are thousands of recipes and there are thousands of fact patterns. So each situation really is unique. But generally, it has made sense in a boom time to operate with lots of debt. In this kind of period, debt can flip against you and has much more risk involved.
Yeah.
So, in fact, in many circumstances, I tend to be very, I tend to like to operate without debt.
Right.
And part of it is it just simply gets me out of the system.
Right. That's what I like. That's what
right.
I'm leaning toward. But the problem that I'm looking at is devaluation. If I pay off, you know, something that's worth X, you know, now, and then 6 months from now it's worth half of X, I'm going to feel pretty stupid.
Right, and that's fine as long as you've got your resources and something that's not debasing along with the debt that you've borrowed. Because the debt, as QE2 and these other sort of monetary policies go forth, the value of your debt is shrinking in real terms, but if you have your other assets and things that are also shrinking in real terms, you could be worse off. So the question is, you know, where
are... So if it's paid off, then I really shouldn't care all that much if it goes down in value.
Well, here's the thing. Different situations are different, but let's look at my home in Hickory Valley, Tennessee. My home is not an investment. It's a home,
right.
okay? And the most important thing about that home is not just the cost, it's my health and happiness. In other
right.
words, it's a form of protecting my health and happiness.
Right.
And I need it to be unbelievably stable, okay? Because that's very important to my health and happiness.
Right.
So it's not a trading sardine to be flipped and financed and reflipped and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Because my health and happiness is not something to be flipped. And so, obviously I care that I finance it on an economic basis. At the same time, I want to make, first and foremost, make sure that I and my company are safe. I and my family are happy and safe. In fact, my home is now an office when I say company. But
good for you.
But I have a strategic purpose for that place, and it's much bigger and more important than just, you know, what an investment is. So we've got to get the spirit of trading sardines and the spirit of a home and get them separate.
Uh-huh.
And in many circumstances, it makes sense, therefore, to pay off the mortgage. There are others where it doesn't.
So have you done that?
No, I have not done it.
Uh-huh.
But the reasons I have not done it are different than most other people's. And again, this gets back to the fact that everybody's unique.
Yeah.
The nature of I went through very. Have you ever seen the movie Enemy of the State?
No, but I've heard about it.
Okay.
I should go see it.
Well,
watch it.
I always tell people who've seen it, I played Will Smith in real life. So I've dealt with very significant and serious litigation. And I like having the bank on the house because it makes it difficult for the bank to play games on the house.
Ah.
You know, if they play games, they fiddle with their own money, not mine.
Yeah.
And the reality is, if you look at my business, I'd rather have my money in my business and growing than having it sit in the house.
Gotcha.
So now I've kept my overhead unbelievably low, so I bought my house in Hickory Valley for $60,000.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the housing bubble only got there for maybe about 2 weeks. And now I've put a lot into the property. I bought the property next door, and I've done a lot to renovate and fix up, so I have a lot more money in it than that. But I kept it very, very low. Now, out in California, your situation is very different.
So, I'll say.
Yeah, so if you look at what makes sense for somebody in Hickory Valley, it's a totally different story.
Yeah.
Than what would make sense for someone
in... Yeah, there's a lot of $800,000, million, $1.4 million mortgages
right.
out here, you know.
So you get a lot of very different fact patterns.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, so I think it is very tricky to generalize, because what I found is someone will get on the radio and generalize, and then somebody with a fact pattern that's totally different will do the worst thing they could possibly do because they heard a generalization.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's why I'm, you know, you have to be careful. But just... We need to remember our home is our home. It's not a trading sardine. And, you know, so, and I say that because the most important thing we can do for our financial situation right now is take care of our health.
Right.
We are in a period of unprecedented environmental pollution, and what we needed to do and the way we needed to behave 20 years ago won't work. And so one of the things I find myself recommending to people is they invest much more of their free cash flow in sort of proactive detoxification, building their immune system, and really preventative health care in a very active way that we
didn't
even need
to consider.
Oh, boy,
that's what we've been all about here for many, many years.
Good for you.
We're talking with Catherine Austin Fitz. President of Solari Incorporated, and the website is www.solari.com. Wonderful guest here. We do have a commercial break to take right now, so let's do that, and we will be back. And we'll see if we can get to some callers. We've got a couple of callers on the line right now. We haven't invited calls. We'll just sort of see how it evolves here. But it's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, the Saturday special with MZ and Nikki at the controls. And Nikki's going to play them commercials right now. Thanks.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Microwave repair.
Robotic arm with controller for eShed industrial arm.
Tesla coil for my railgun.
Dead tricks upgrades.
Drive for a telescope.
A tube amp for my guitar.
Submersible sensors for NASA.
Ethernet cable for my new iMac.
Solar powered gate.
Instrument panel for an airplane.
Wiring my hot rod.
Upgrading PC system.
Help with home wiring.
Custom audio cables for recording studio.
High voltage electronic ignition circuit.
Building a spaceship.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics, voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
It's time to unravel the mysteries of health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services, an authorized independent agent for Anthem Blue Cross.
Health coverage plans are a lot like cable TV options. The least expensive plans give you the basic coverage. The most expensive plans give you all the bells and whistles. If you don't like paying for all the bells and whistles, consider a health savings account eligible plan, or HSA. HSA premiums can be up to 50% less, and the HSA account provides a federal tax-free way to save for future health expenses. Use the power of my experience as a health insurance professional. We'll talk over the quotes and make sure that you choose the best coverage at the most affordable rates.
Unravel the mysteries of your health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services. Go to healthexchangeforall.com for a free quote and then give Pamela a call. That's healthexchangeforall.com.
California Insurance License 0D75558. Anthem Blue Cross is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross Association.
Fall is upon us once again, and so is high school football on KOMY. Keep up with your local Pigskin all fall long with Central Coast Sports. Broadcasters John Pengally and Edmund Skurich offer tantalizing insights, in-depth pre- and post-game coverage, and interviews with your local athletes.
This Friday night at 7 p.m., Scotts Valley High hosts St. Francis on KOMY.
Your electrical problems are no problem when you take direct action and call Direct Electric. Hello, I'm Priscilla Christie.
And I'm Dave Christie. From blown fuses to power outages to remodels, Direct Electric will fix your electrical problems. And Direct Electric will do it right the first time at the right price with no service charge. Listen.
I'm Gretchen from Woodstock Pizza. It's the best pizza in town. We were having problems with some of our electric stuff in our store, and we heard that they are a great business, so we gave them a call. They fixed our problem. They responded immediately, and we were really happy with the work that they did for us. We are friends for life.
Your electrical problems are no problem when you take direct action and call Direct Electric.
If you are in real trouble, ask for Direct Electric's 60-minute emergency service. Direct Electric, that's the name. Service and quality, that's what's in the name. Direct Electric, 425-1407, 425-1407.
Welcome back to the last segment of the Saturday special today. Our special guest is Catherine Austin Fitz, president of Solari Incorporated, and a fascinating lady who has an awful lot in her head about the system that runs this country, the financial system. We're going to bring her back on. Here you there, Catherine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to some phone calls here. Philip in Live Oak, welcome to KSCO. You're on the air with MZ.
Hi, Catherine. I rush home to try to get Michael Swirly on because I work on Saturday, so it's sort of hard rushing. So I've only caught like the last half of the program. Did you talk about like Twitter Pay and the new security systems and barter systems and that kind of stuff? And the new technologies that are going to try to go, because you're very much talking like my dad talked. He went through the 30s, and, you know, I find it fascinating. He always says, always invest in your home, in a business, and in yourself. He says that's your always security and going forward. And you seem to be talking along those lines. He says, you know, he says you make your home your business. Have you investigated those other areas, or what are your feelings on technology?
Sure,
I'm always curious on what other people have to say, because I'm in that area, and you're obviously in Solaris, and you have a different knowledge than I do.
Well, I think the best investment you can make after a low overhead home base is a business of your own. The people right now who are really beating the inflation curve and what I call the slow burn is are people who've built their own business and doing something which is an essential service and provides a service to other people. And so they're really the master of their own ship and can't be outsourced or re-engineered.
Yeah.
And so that in fact, is why it's so important to find a way to flow equity within our own communities, because all of us have been starting and building our own businesses by trying to earn the capital to do it. And the more we can circulate and flow equity around communities, the better. And as a matter of helping the economy, if you look at the engine of employment, it's small businesses and startups. And so if we're gonna rebuild our employment base, then we've got to start circulating equity to entrepreneurs and things in communities. There's so much that can happen to make small business competitive with large business place by place, but it requires organization.
Yeah, that's one of the things that, you know, fascinating is like community structures and organizations around basically secure islands where people can basically deal with your communities. Like one of the things I'm doing is like machine shop in the box, where you basically bring a machine shop literally right in your home and you manufacture your own equipment and plastic, and then I'm doing the standards for that, and I'm literally writing all that stuff. Because the way you're talking, as I say, is you got to get away from centralized manufacturing, centralized, you know, fiat systems. You got to bring that more into the community. We have people with tools that can build and make their own things and sell locally within their own services. And this is where a lot of entrepreneurs are looking in those directions right now. They're listening to me, and I actually met some at, you know, Alex Jones thing. They were thinking along the same way. So.
Yeah, there's a wonderful group of guys who are making a documentary on what's called The Makers.
Right.
And I put it up on the blog about a week or two ago, and one of the things they're doing is teaching kids to think, you know, to realize that whatever they want in this world, they can make it. You know, they can learn to make their own bicycle, they can learn to build their own car, they can learn to, you know, make an electrical system. And I think it's very, very important, because when you transfer those businesses out of a community to, you know, you transfer them to a franchise or a large corporation, you transfer the intellectual capital out. And so getting that intellectual capital back and rebuilding the skills and learning how to do all these things ourselves, just because if you're unemployed, you know, don't wait to start learning. We need to start learning and building new skills.
That's what I'm trying to do, is just provide the people for the tools. But, I mean, you're a reasonable person, and I really enjoyed what I've heard from you. And, you know, keep up the good fight and keep pushing.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta push that out there. And, I mean, we're in desperate situations, and people have to have knowledge and tools in their hands to be able to do things differently than we are now, or we're just going to get slammed.
I want Catherine to move to Santa Cruz.
Yeah, come to Santa Cruz, please.
No, well, I'm going to actually, I'm starting a business in partnership with a company out in Silicon Valley, and so I will be out here in California much more often,
And now I happen to know that you're very close physically to KSCO at the as we speak.
Well, I'm just house guesting.
Yes, I understand that. But next time you come out here, you simply must visit our magical radio station. Okay, Phil, thanks very
much
for your
much.
Call. Craig in San Jose, you're on with MZ and Catherine Austin Fitz. Hey, Craig.
Yeah, hey. MZ, good program.
Thank you.
By the way, when did people start calling you MZ?
I don't know. Probably after I did.
Because I think I might have been the first one to actually start calling you MZ back in the early 90s, early to mid-90s.
Nah, I've always, it's always been my preferred, name. Anyhow, yeah, so
yeah.
I have you heard Catherine before on various other radio programs?
No, but I'd like to take her out to lunch if she does come out here to Silicon Valley sometime.
And that's where you are, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wanted to ask Catherine about what motivates George Soros. I mean, where does this guy live? Does he have a – is he a citizen of the United States? Or does he have a wife or kids? It seems like everything – he's spending millions, billions on anything and everything that's wrong. And that's evil, and he's an old, old man. Now, who is this guy? What motivates him?
Well, I can't, I don't know George Soros personally. I've never spent any time with him, so I don't really know. I've read two of his books, and I've heard him speak, and so I can only give you my intuition from that. I think Soros is a very astute investor. And his success in business came from really being remarkably good at understanding sort of the deeper trends and taking advantage of them. And as he built his fortune, he started to get interested in why things, were not working. Now, my guess is that his philanthropy is much more sort of engineered to help the powers that be go in the direction they want. And so, he's part of a syndicate, if you will, and that the syndicate helps him make money in a variety of ways, and then that money gets shifted to help with centralization. And you'll see Soros involved. I'll give you an example. When my company was sort of attacked in the enemy of the state process, we sort of came under attack by the Department of Justice and the Department of Housing and Urban Development in a process really designed to get us out of town. And as soon as it started, suddenly I was getting calls and being invited out to lunch by, just about everybody I knew personally was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And at the time, Soros was executive. It was on the executive committee of the council. Well, they then seized our offices and basically sort of destroyed the company in a very intentional and sort of criminal way. And then the next member of the Council on Foreign Relations turned up and said, well, we'd love to see you go to Soros and get a grant. And I basically sat back and looked at the picture and said, well, wait a minute, they're stealing my software, they're destroying my company, and now they want me to go begging for a tiny grant that will be funded with the very money, if you look at the syndicated on a consolidated basis, that they just stole from me. So why should I go beg George Soros for a bit of my own money? And, in a model where I'm never going to make any equity now, because I'm an entrepreneur, I'm building equity, they just stole my equity, I'm going to go build more equity. I don't want to run around and beg for grants from the people who just stole my money. So
yeah.
It left a message, because you saw constantly the Soros funding used to kind of control people who were upset about the corruption. And I'll just tell one other story. Then I published many years later an article called Narco Dollars for Beginners, which just ricocheted around the world. And in it, I was basically saying the war on drugs was part of running the drug business. And I got attacked by every Soros-funded group on the planet who was being funded by his war on drug activities.
And, he doesn't like you very much.
Well, no, but I don't think it was anything personal to Soros.
They don't like you very much.
Well, what came out was all these guys were terrified I was going to get the Soros funding, and the reality was.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, the reality was all these groups were not bringing true transparency to what who was making money from drugs and how, because they were on the dole. You know, the Soros Foundation was running a dole.
Ah, that's amazing.
So these kinds of philanthropy, kind of manage and control dissent in a way that's very unhealthy.
It's what's going on with Soros and NPR right now, and so forth. It's a regular. Craig, listen, we got one other person.
Michael, does Soros even live in the United States?
I don't know. I don't know. He's a big question mark.
I don't follow him. My impression is he has been spending more and more time out of the United States, but he does have, this is a person with multiple homes. He's very wealthy. So, sure.
Craig, I want to thank you for calling here. We just have one other call, Kurt in Scotts Valley, and we only have less than a minute, so try to ask your question.
I'll make it quick.
Yeah.
Is there any hope in the current system we have in Wall Street being fixed or renovated, or do we have to completely abandon it?
Great closing question.
Well, I think there is hope that the securities market can be evolved and transformed. I think you have to change fundamentally the process of transparency, and you have to change fundamentally the culture around money, and that has to happen. That has to spread virally. You need a spiritual revolution, a revolution of consciousness. If that happens, Wall Street will follow.
And do you see that happening with the Tea Party? And I mean, because that's my only hope, short of a violent revolution, is that it occurs from the inside, from grassroots, from everybody waking up that we're being conned by Wall Street.
Well, I think the initial Tea Party movement was very positive. Wherever there's juice like that, you see the COINTELPRO guys and the parties move in. And
hate to say
control.
It, but that's the end of the show, gang. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, FITTS. The website is Solari, SOLARI.com. Thank you, Catherine. Continued success to you. And I hope to have you on again. And thank you for being on with us today. Take care. Okay. That's it, gang. We'll see you next week.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Here's Fox News.
New program to help the economy. The $600 billion program involves the Fed buying government bonds to make loans cheaper and get Americans to spend more. Critics say the program will cause inflation. The chairman spoke in Atlanta. Employers may have gone back to hiring, but job hunters say it is not nearly enough.
Special ed teacher Christine Hayevsky tells Fox News Radio,
I've been looking since April of 2009.
Hayevsky says there are so many teachers out of work in the Chicago area that
for every single job you apply for, there's probably at least 20 people that are actually qualified for the job that actually get called in for interviews, so it's just difficult.
And she's not the only one in her family who has been struggling to find work.
My mom has been unemployed longer than I have, and she finally just decided she was going to take Social Security because she hasn't been able to find a job for 2 years.
Hayevsky says she's lucky that her family is helping her stay afloat. In Chicago, Jennifer Kuiper, Fox News Radio.
President Obama is in India.
The president started his visit by remembering a painful moment in Mumbai's past, the terrorist attacks 2 years ago that left 166 people dead, including Americans. The president saying the shared threat is drawing the two nations closer.
And just as our people prayed together at candlelight vigils, our governments have worked closer than ever.
The president also hoping the U.S. and India form closer economic ties.
In our determination to give our people a future of security and prosperity, the United States and India stand united.
The president seeing trade with this rapidly growing nation as a cornerstone to his Asian policy. In Mumbai, Mike Makowicz, Fox News Radio.
Michelle Obama visited an orphanage in Mumbai today, telling children there to dream big. The First Lady told the kids she didn't grow up with a lot of money, but was grateful for her education because it prepared her for her life. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Stay connected to Fox News Radio for your favorite talk show, newscasts, on the hour and half hour, and the podcasts that take you a step deeper inside of Fox News. For the most compelling and quotable reporting and analysis on the big political stories of the day, you won't want to miss the All-Star Panel from Special Report with Brett Baer. You can hear Brett and his panelists, including Charles Krauthammer, Juan Williams, A.B. Stoddard, Steve Hayes, and others, break down the politics of the day like no one else. Subscribe now by going to foxnewsradio.com and clicking on the podcast button for the All-Star Panel from Special Report. And check out other Fox News Radio podcasts, including The Early Scoop with Fox News Radio's entertainment reporter Sabrina Sabah, with the latest in the world of entertainment, including box office results, music, and movie releases, and the world of television. It's free. Go to foxnewsradio.com and look for the podcast button.
Al-Qaeda taking credit for a number of close calls and an apparent accident over the last couple of weeks.
Not only are members of Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula bragging about the mail bomb plot, they say they're behind a crash investigators thought was an accident. Two printer bombs were found on cargo planes bound for Chicago on October 29th, but were found in England and Dubai before they could explode. Here's the website quote from Al-Qaeda taking credit. We say to Obama, we pointed three attacks to your planes within 1 year, and we will continue, Allah willing, to direct our attacks on the American interests and the interests of America's allies.
That's Fox's Caroline Shively reporting from Washington. Saudi Arabia says it has stopped attempts to broker peace between the Afghan government and the Taliban. Saudi Arabia says it's because the Taliban won't break ties with Al-Qaeda. In Oakland, California, hundreds of protesters took to the streets after a white former transit officer was given the minimum prison sentence for fatally shooting an unarmed black man on a train platform. Police in riot gear arrested over 150 people last night.